Social impact everywhere.
Welcome back, my fellow impactors, to another episode of the Impactors Podcast. And today we have another special guest for you. We have Ed Eichhorn. Now, Ed is a successful healthcare executive and entrepreneur. He consults for medical societies and healthcare organizations through his company, MediLink Consulting Group. He's also the co-author of Healing American Healthcare, a book that describes a universal healthcare plan for the United States that would actually save the country $1 trillion per year. That is $1 trillion per year. He also recently founded the Healing American Healthcare Coalition to keep healthcare professionals informed on important research and industry news. So Ed, I want to start this podcast off by just saying a big thank you for being with me here today.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
So let's jump into the first question. I did a statement of who you are, right? Very, very broad. There's a lot more to who Ed is. I want you to explain just a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and why you believe you're an impactor.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. You know, I was interested in impact even when I was an undergraduate engineering student. And when I graduated from engineering school and was taking interviews, I had the opportunity to land a position making medical devices. And I learned through that first job in my career how impactful we could be by improving the quality of the medical devices that were used to treat people. And that was an abiding influence. And I've spent most of my career in healthcare, building medical devices and medical service businesses. So that's been very important to me. But when I was on the board of trustees of my alma mater, I was asked to drop off the board and become the vice president of development. And that was an incredible opportunity to have impact on others, because my job was to help very successful graduates who had been entrepreneurs or corporate executives to make large gifts to the university. And it's an incredible positive feeling to help people determine how they would like to support the alma mater, whether it might be with an endowed scholarship or a professor's chair or a building. And, you know, after I left that position, I got invited back to be present at the opening of a building that I helped to fund, and have since gone to a few meetings there. And it's an incredibly positive experience to be in a building that you actually helped to fund. And also during you know, my career, I did take time to seek public office. And I was on the board of education in my hometown for 12 years. And that's also a great opportunity for impact, to help to shape the programs of the schools and to ensure that the programs are properly funded. So I certainly enjoy the opportunity to have an impact on that as well. And then the last thing I would say is when I was working as a VP for development for a university, I read a congressional bill in the United States that would set up a new healthcare plan that would actually cause people to lose their healthcare. And I got very passionate about that. And I connected with my co-author, Dr. Michael Hutchinson, a colleague of many years. And we wrote the book that you mentioned, Healing American Healthcare, because, you know, unlike, you know, other nations in the Organization for Economic and Cooperative Development, the United States really doesn't have a unified healthcare system. And we have almost 30 million folks that don't have health insurance, and another 40 million who are underinsured. And at the same time, we pay substantially more for healthcare than any other nation in the world, in real dollars or per capita dollars. And I felt it was important to try to do some research and make a statement about that. And that's what we did with our book, which we spend time at giving lectures and webinars. And we've actually started doing some podcasts on the features of the health plan that we think would help to rectify that situation.
So explain to me a little bit more about the book and what it means to, you know, change the American healthcare system. Explain to me more about that.
Sure. Well, you know, there are three things that we should do and a result that we should get from doing that. The first thing we have to do is make sure we have coverage for everyone. The second thing is we have to reduce the cost of coverage. And then we have to reduce the bureaucracy of how we deal with billing. And if we do those things, we can improve expectancy in the United States. Our life expectancy is 3 years less than all of the other nations in the 37 nations in the Organization for Economic and Cooperative Development. And we've done a very poor job of managing the pandemic in the United States, and our life expectancy is going to drop by at least a year when it's next calculated. What we are saying in the book is basically there are two starting points from which one could develop a healthcare system if you were starting from scratch. One is to have a healthcare system like many of nations have, that's similar to the one in Great Britain, that has a national health service that's funded by taxation. And 90% of the folks that live in Great Britain are covered by that, and about 10% have private insurance. The other starting point is the German plan that was started in the 1880s when Germany was unifying. And in that plan, health insurance comes to everyone through their employment. And there, German employees can choose a sickness fund, one of 100 funds that are nonprofit, essentially nonprofit insurance companies, from which they can get the coverage for their healthcare. People who are unemployed or live in poverty are covered by the German government. So we believe the plan that we designed, the Eichhorn-Hutchinson All-Care Plan, says that all employers in the United States should provide health care insurance. And about 150 million Americans get their health care through their employment, and that's the largest coverage section. But about 40% of the employers that employ a smaller number of people don't provide health insurance coverage. So what our plan would do would be, one, to have a public option based on Medicare that would actually cost about 30% less than the coverage that's routine private insurance of employers. And the public option would be very important because individuals or companies would have the choice to buy that if they chose to. And it would create great competition for the private insurance companies because 90% of their business is done with employers. So they would have to determine how to compete with the public option if they wanted to retain their book of business. Now, the second part of that, beyond that aspect of requiring all employers to provide insurance, is that 16% or so of the 70 million Americans that are on Medicaid are fully employed. So their employers would now be required to provide health insurance, and that would remove them from the public rolls of Medicaid. That would reduce costs in the United States for the United States and the federal government and the state governments by about $250 billion a year. Also, having employers have to provide insurance where they could be self-insured by private insurance or the public option, they would have the opportunity to reduce their costs on a net basis by another $170 million. So you can see if we were able to do that, in addition to other programs to reduce the cost of pharmaceuticals, which are extremely high in the United States, and to encourage physicians to reduce waste, as well as helping to structure payment systems for hospitals, we could actually reduce what we spend on healthcare by about 30%. If we did that, the cost of healthcare in the United States would be roughly the equivalent to that of Switzerland, which is the second most expensive healthcare system on a per capita basis in the world. So that, and that's sort of the elevator speech. That's the 2 or 3 minutes on how our healthcare system would work. And it would also allow for our Senate and our legislature, the House of Representatives, to compromise, because the Democrats generally want universal health care, and the Republicans historically like to find ways to reduce the budget. So our plan provides what we would call a compromise or a strategic compromise that would allow coverage to occur or be provided for pretty much everyone while we reduce the governmental cost of health care by a significant amount of money.
So with everything you've been doing then, and I mean, it's incredible, your idea to, you know, compromise, your idea to make groups work together and build a sustainable future. How are you then building an impact in your communities, whether extended, whether, you know, close by? How are you building an impact with what you do?
Well, what I'm doing through the Healing American Healthcare Coalition is reaching out to build a list of folks that are concerned about healthcare and want to read about the issues that are current and prevalent in healthcare on a regular basis. So we are building out a list of folks that are interested in that topic. And we are at about 700 folks now who get our newsletter and our blogs on a monthly basis. And to support that, we've developed our newsletter that we call the 3-Minute Read that goes out to all the members of our coalition twice a month and sometimes three times a month, that covers 4 or 5 articles and perhaps a blog or an op-ed we've written. And the idea of that is this goes to busy folks, physicians, nurses, healthcare professionals. And the 3-Minute Read takes about 3 minutes to read because we have 4 or 5 executive summaries of interesting articles and research papers. And we include a link in the newsletter because it's an e-newsletter, and they can read the summary. If it's an article of great interest to them, they can go and read the full article. And we have a great response. We have about a 50% opening rate in our e-newsletter and a 50 to 70% click-through rate to one or more articles each week. So we believe we're sort of hitting a sweet spot that people are interested in learning about. So for the medical community that we try to serve, we believe our newsletter is a way to have impact, to give people information and objective knowledge about what's actually going on that may be needed as they face the decisions with patients or within their organizations.
So let's talk about the business now, right? I mean, you've led a life of building impact, but this idea, especially in the business realm or business sphere, is it important? Is it an important part of business? Is impact an important part of business? And if so, why?
Well, I think impact is aligned with value. And if you have a positive impact on an organization that you're consulting for, whether it's a company or a medical society or a nonprofit, you have to have impact to provide quality service. And you have to, you know, impact can be established in a number of ways. It can be helping them to make the right decision for their organization to move forward, helping them to introduce a new product or service to their client base. And in what I do, that would be for patients or hospitals or medical organizations, or helping them to decide which path to take to have impact on the markets that they serve. You know, I think there are a lot of important issues that are aligned with or part of making an impact. For me, it has to be positive. It has to be something that provides quality and helps to improve the direction of the company, medical society, or nonprofit.
Yeah, that's the interesting part about impact is, you know, it's a double-edged sword, right? It can either be bad, it can be good. But the more we try to put good in the world, business to me is a massive amplifier, right? Whether you amplify bad or whether you amplify good, it is an amplifier. So we have to focus on how we can produce more good intentions, but also good results based on business actions.
That's true, because certainly, you know, businesses need to find ways to improve what they do or make sure that the products or services that they provide are meaningful and useful to their customer base. So in that context, lots of things get amplified. Certainly an example of that in the current pandemic is, telemedicine. This is a real amplifier because for a number of routine healthcare issues, patients simply couldn't get to the doctor because of their concerns about the infection they might get en route or in the office of the physician. So you know, physicians have really moved in the technology of telemedicine so that they can have Zoom meetings with their patients to make assessments that could be made without being in the same room. And I think lots of times there are technologies that we embrace that allow us to expand and amplify impact. And there are a number of them. Obviously, people can impact or have a more impact that's positive or negative on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or LinkedIn. And I'm sure if we talk again in two more years, there'll be five or six more names we'll mention that haven't been invented yet in terms of how people communicate with each other and clearly can have impact.
So as my last question to you, this question is more about your advice. And so I'd like to ask you, for people listening today, how would they begin building their own impact in their own communities?
Well, you know, I think it's about passion. I think you need to be passionate about the things that you want to undertake that will have impact in your community or industry or in your country. And, you know, in my own life, I'm very passionate about how can we make healthcare better so that there are better outcomes for people when they need to have surgery or have other medical interventions to increase, save, or improve their lives. And that's very important to me. I spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to get a message out to help decision makers make a better decision about healthcare in our country, so that we have better outcomes for people in the future. But whatever your listeners really are passionate about or they're driven to or they care about is where I think they can start to make an impact or work towards making an impact. And I think there are corollaries to that, because once you make a positive impact in an area that you're passionate about, you'll find other things that you'd like to do that will have a positive impact on the community that you live in or the people that you care about or the things that you care about. So I that's the sort of straightforward way I would think about it. And I think there's a lot we can do if we care about the things we'd like to undertake.
Ed, I just want to finish this podcast with saying, again, a big thank you for being with me here today. You're right. There is a lot of correlation between them, but you have to be invested. You have to be passionate, and you have to have a desire to want to make change. So I couldn't agree with you more on that. And I just want to say a big thank you for being with me here today.
Well, it's a great pleasure to spend some time with you, Avery, and keep passionate about the things you care about.